Tonight, if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, and you'll find my text in verse 31. Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Dear congregation, the apostle was writing to the church at Corinth in chapter 11, reminded them of the institution of the Lord's Supper, which was instituted by our Lord on that night when he was betrayed. And he did this not only to give direction, but as we considered this morning at the table, to show the danger of partaking unworthily. Now in doing so, he wrote in verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." There is a showing of the Lord's death till he come. And we're reminded there, aren't we, that one day he is coming. And as we come around the table, next time, the Lord willing, we are to gain focus that the Lord one day is coming. And as we note there in that verse, "For as often as you eat this bread," it is to be frequently observed, but then secondly, perpetually, unto the coming of the Lord. And as we think of that, that gives us heart, doesn't it? To know there will be a people coming around the table of the Lord's table, till he comes. It will be remembered perpetually until the coming of the Lord. Now, as we come to the table, as we consider this morning, we firstly remember. We remember the sufferings of Christ. But then secondly, as we see there in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, we show forth the Lord's death. What does that mean? Well, we declare to the comfort of our soul, and to the reviving of it, we show it forth, but also we publish it. We make it known what a Saviour we have who died for us. And we make it known to the other brethren as they gather. So firstly, we remember. Secondly, we show forth at the table. But thirdly, we look forward and we seek to live in the light of his coming. It's more than just remembering. There's fellowship. There's a showing forth. There's a declaring. And there's a looking forward. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." In many congregations, particularly north of the border, and in Ireland and in America, following the observance of the Lord's Supper, a sermon would be preached on the coming of the Lord to remind the people, in the meanwhile, before they meet around the table again, that the Lord was coming. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." And so tonight, having considered the rejection of the king this morning and the crucifixion of the king, tonight we consider the return of the King. And here in our text we read, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." The one who is coming is King Jesus. For we note in verse 34, "Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now in the parable of the 10 virgins earlier in this chapter, and in the parable of the talents, we are reminded of the coming of the Lord. Likewise, from verse 31, but also we're reminded of the great day of judgment. Well, let's come to these things tonight. And I'd like us to consider, first of all, the king's sure return. Secondly, the king's just sentence. Thirdly, the king's unhappy enemies. And then fourthly, the king's happy subjects. And there we will consider the eternal state for the subjects of the king. Well, let's consider first of all then the king's sure return. As you go from this day on which we have remembered the sufferings of Christ in that special way around the table, look up. We considered this morning at the table, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look up, consider him, and then look forward, for one day he is coming. Now we notice in verse 31, simply to begin with, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. It's not perhaps, it's a when, it's not if. There's no doubt here. There's not a question that can be raised. No, he is coming. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. It's a reality. He is coming. Our Lord said to his disciples in the upper room, I will come again. John 14 verse 3. We look back and we consider he came the first time. Well, he's coming again. I will come again. He who is the truth declared the truth to his disciples, and he declares it to us. He is coming again. We read in 1 Peter 2, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. It's true. He's coming again. Oh, to live in light of his sure return. Every word from the lips of Christ is true. Every word of warning, every word of rebuke, every word of comfort, every word of instruction. Listen to Christ. Are you listening? Are you listening to Christ? Are you focused on him? I will come again. Not always did I listen to the headmaster in assembly. I often would bow my head and I would be daydreaming. I would yawn in assemblies. I would do it carefully so the headmaster couldn't see. We had a respect of him and a little fear, my first headmaster. I wasn't good at listening, and my hearing was a lot better then. Are you listening to the great master? I will come again. If we listen, we will seek to live our lives tonight in view of his coming. We're to be waiting. We sang about it in Psalm 130. Wait for the Lord. Spurgeon commenting on Psalm 130. The Lord's people have always been a waiting people. They waited for his first coming, his incarnation. And they wait for his second coming. Wait on the Lord. Be found waiting, watching, and pray. Oh, listen to Christ. I will come again. It's not an if. I will. What do we read in verse 31? When the Son of Man, oh, just grasp it tonight, one day he's coming, and you're going to see him. And that leaves us to consider, secondly, he's coming himself. He's coming himself. He will personally come. We're going to see the Lord Jesus, he who is God, and he who is man. Reverend John Brown of Haddington comments, Christ's own personal appearance. Remember what John wrote in 1 John 3 verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When he shall appear. And you know those amazing words. We shall be like him. There be a greater likeness to Christ on the day of his return. We're in union with Christ. We're to be seeking to be more like Christ, growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But on that day, we read, we shall be like him. There will be such a likeness seen, for we shall see him as he is. Just grasp it tonight in your soul. He's coming. The Son of God is coming. He who has the name Jesus. And now we come to consider thirdly, he will visibly return. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. It will be visible. He shall come in his glory. Oh, if we could see into heaven at this moment, we would see a little of the glory of Christ. On that great day, we will see his glory. He will visibly come. Revelation 1 verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. He will visibly come. Now consider, children, he went up in the cloud, and the apostles saw him departing. One day, not just the apostles, but all who have ever lived will see him coming. It will be visible to all. It will not be hidden. We're all going to see him on that great day, and the whole world, it will be visible. Fourthly, he will come in a glorious and mighty way. What do we read here in verse 31? When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Such a glorious appearing. And when he appears in such a glorious way, the whole world will know who has come. What majesty he will be clothed with. What excellencies will shine forth. A number of years ago, I opened the dictionary, the Reverend John Brown of Haddington. And I happened to look on the word glory. And I was struck by it. The shining of excellencies. What a day there will be, the shining of his excellencies, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Fisher writes, in the most splendid and glorious manner. So glorious, so will be the sight of Christ. He will come in a mighty way. In Matthew 24, verse 30, we read, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. With glory, but with power. Men will be struck, you will be struck, with the power of the King when he comes. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, there'll be such sights and such noises that people will be aware of the power of Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7, he will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. What power. Oh, what a day it will be. Now returning to 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16 we read, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He will come in the clouds. There will be fire. He will be attended by the angelic hosts. He will descend with a shout triumphant, but also a shout to raise the attention. The King is about to act. It's interesting in Psalm 47 verse 5, which many of the commentators point to, a reference to the ascension of Christ. We learn there that Christ went up with a shout at his ascension. Psalm 47 verse 5. God is gone up with a shout. Remember, he went up in the cloud. When he comes, he will come in the clouds. And there will be the shout. He went up with a shout triumphant. We see in Psalm 24, who is the Lord, the King of glory, the one mighty and strong in the battle, a shout triumphant. He's done it all. There will be the shout triumphant when he comes. And there will be the attention raised that he is about to act. There will be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the graves will be opened. And there through that will be great awe instilled in the hearts of men. As says the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. You children, you think years ago, but also still today, when a monarch comes to a certain place, the trumpets are played. Think when a king came, the trumpets were played. When the King of Kings will come, there will be the trump. The trumpets were played to instill in the hearts of those that were there, the King has come. Oh, what a trump there will be on that great day. The trump of God. What an appearance of the King. What a day is coming. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. What a day. He's coming. What a glorious day. But it will be a solemn day. Are you ready? Ask yourself, are you ready to meet the King? You're going to see him. Are you ready? Someone listening online, you're not ready. You're not a Christian. Oh, go to Jesus. Go to the King. In olden days, when one went in before the King, if there was acceptance, the golden scepter would be raised. Or you go to the King, he will lift the golden scepter. He will accept you. You go to him by faith. Be ready for the coming of the King. But let's consider secondly, the King's just sentences. The King's just sentences. Now we have this from verse 34. Now, as we think of the sentences, they are just. What a solemn sentence for the unconverted who die in their sins in verse 41. Depart from me. Now, right at the outset, as we think of the just sentences, the unconverted will have no cause to launch an appeal. No cause. They may try, but no cause. And it's a very solemn thing, isn't it? Those who die in their sins, or those who are still alive when the Lord comes, but they're not believing, they will have no cause to launch an appeal. And they will know that they were guilty. But when we think of the just sentence for the believer, we believers will be amazed at the righteousness of Christ, the judge. The books will be opened and we will know our sins, but we will be amazed at the sentence of the just, of the judge. We will be amazed at the righteousness of Christ. For because of him, all is well for the soul. And believers will rejoice in the justice of God's grace as they hear the just sentence. Now we will be brought before the judge. And then there will be the sentencing. Now notice verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. There will be the separation in preparation for the judgment. Now just notice this, dear brothers and sisters, he shall set the sheep on his right hand. How can we thank him enough tonight? We'll be going to the right hand of Christ. I don't deserve to be going to that side. But I will be going to his right hand, and there I will be judged before him. But all will be well. So we have the separation. There will be the judgment. There will be the sentencing. And later the execution of the sentences. Briefly consider again the judgment. We have it in verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And there is the scene already now. And there you will be, dear child of God. You'll hear the sentence. After the judgment, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There will be the judgment. We read in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. He is the just judge, who is the all-seeing judge. He will have the books open before him. And as the Reverend John Brown of Haddington writes, with the books open before him, it will be in what manner these people shall be judged. Most exactly, for the books shall be opened. The book of remembrance, the book of law, and the book of life. Just think of that. The book of remembrance. What a mind God has. Can I put it like this, and I say this reverently, what a vast library there is in the mind of God. Real facts, says Haddington, will be before him. How could I face such a day without Christ? Real facts will be before him. Everything you have done, everything you have said, but then further, everything you have thought, all will be behind him. What a vast library in the mind of God. But dear brothers and sisters, there's another book, the book of life. And through grace and because of Christ, your name is there. And for the believer, they will have most blessed sentencing. And we consider first of all here, the sentencing of God's people. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He will say it to all true believers, not hypocrites. There be with the other people on the left hand. But all true believers, all those savingly united to Christ, come, ye blessed of my Father. It's interesting that, isn't it? That's the sentence, come. In the gospel it's come. And Christ in sentencing you, dear child of God, says come again. It's come again. It was come and welcome, and through the grace of God and the working of the shepherd you went to Christ. On that great day it will be come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a gracious sentence. Remember, all the books will be opened. And the world will know what a sinner I was. But what's one of the purposes, I believe? As we see in Psalm 50, the believers will be judged as well. That Christ will have the glory. For his righteousness shall be declared. People will be amazed. He saved that person. He saved that person. What a wonderful Saviour. How precious is his robe of righteousness. Remember we considered this morning a mark of grace. I am black but comely. On that great day they will know our blackness. But they will also be amazed at the comeliness of Christ. That's one of the reasons I believe why believers will be judged. In light of Corinthians and Ecclesiastes. For the glory of my Saviour. People will be pointed to this great fact. I had a great Saviour who saved me. It's a gracious sentence, isn't it? We don't deserve it. We only have to consider our sins. We don't deserve it, do we? We didn't deserve Christ when we went to him. And we don't deserve Christ on that great day. And we don't deserve this great and glorious and gracious sentence. But it's ours. What a just judge. What an amazing judge. What a gracious sentence. James Fisher puts it at a blessed sentence. Come, ye blessed. You're blessed. But there's so many more blessings in store. You're blessed by the Father. You're blessed by me. You're blessed by the Holy Spirit. Distinguished by favour and favoured by me. chosen by grace, redeemed by me, justified, pardoned, come ye blessed of my Father. There's no condemnation. There's fellowship and further fellowship awaiting. Blessed of my Father. Adopted in a gracious act. Loved with an everlasting love. Cared for in a most tender way you have been so far. Blessed by my Father. And it's wonderful, isn't it? In the sentencing, you'll be invited. And you'll be reminded of how blessed you are. Through the Father. Oh, you consider the blessings of the Father now. You can call him Abba Father. He cares for you. He supports you. He provides all your needs. You'll be reminded of that when you're sentenced. See, we're going to be so focused on grace and on the righteousness of Christ when we hear the sentence. You think if you were called, you were summoned to a court because you had done something wrong. And then in sentencing, you are told how gracious the judge is. How wonderful the judge is. And that's part of you being sentenced. Well, that's how it's going to be, isn't it? Come, ye blessed of my Father. You've known much grace so far. I'm going to remind you of grace in the sentencing. And that there's more in store. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You've done wrong. The books with real facts shows it to the whole world. But I will have the glory. My righteousness will be declared, Psalm 50, when he comes. And here is blessing in store. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. We had nothing in our hands, did we, when we were brought to the feet of Jesus? We have nothing in our hands on that great day to merit the kingdom. But the kingdom will be ours, the heavenly world. Come because of the Father. Come because of me and inherit. Inherit the heavenly world, the glorious kingdom. And oh, what blessings await. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's all of God's free grace. Now we notice from verse 35, the Lord will make known the good that believers did. Now works are not the grounds of one's salvation. And works are not the grounds of this blessed sentence. But before the whole world, it will give evidence that you are in union with Christ. You have a wonderful Saviour. Come. Here's a welcome. Just think of it when you stand with all other believers in your sentence. Come. Come. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What else could we hope for? In the Gospel, as already mentioned, it was come unto me. Bunyan puts it like this. I got the book on my table in the study. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He didn't cast you out then. He hasn't cast you out today, has he? He won't cast you out in the last valley. And he won't cast you out on that great day. No. Come, ye blessed of my Father. With royal majesty, he will declare the sentence. With authority, no one will be able to stop you going into the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the way. With authority, the judge will declare it, but also with grace, with love, in a most tender way. Come, what a sentence. But there's another sentence, and I must be faithful to make known that other sentence tonight. It's the sentence for those who are ungodly, unbelieving on that great day. And what a contrast. We couldn't get a further contrast, could we? Notice verse 34, how the sentence begins. Come. But how does the other sentence begin? In verse 41, depart. One is come. The other is depart. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Is there anyone here tonight? You're not certain which sentence it will be for you. Go to Jesus now. How could you on that day stand there and hear this sentence? Depart. Yet those who will hear that sentence, they will hear it because they rejected Christ, as we considered this morning. He said, come, but no. We have no king but Caesar. We will not have this man reign over us. He is just to say on that great day, depart. Depart from me. He would be just in one sense to say it to you and me. But because of the justice of his grace, he won't say it. But if you're not a believer and you die in your sins, he will say it to you. Depart. Your only hope of everlasting life will say, depart from me. From the bottom of my heart, I trust there's no one here tonight or listening online who's going to hear those words, depart, depart from me. What an awful sentence that will be uttered to the ungodly on that day. But after the sentencing, there will come the execution of the sentences, and we draw to a close. Thirdly, the king's unhappy enemies. What do we read in verse 46? Here's the what we call the execution of the sentences. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. What a moment. What dread will be in the heart. And the sentence then will be executed, and they will go into everlasting punishment. There will be no escape. Not one will escape. You remember in the Second World War, there were some allies that were taken and they were found in a German camp. But a few of them were able to escape. You remember what they call it? The Great Escape. And it was a great escape. A number were taken prisoner again and some were shot, but a few escaped out of Germany. But I tell you, on that great day, not one will escape. Not one will escape who's died in their sins, or when he comes is still an unbeliever. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. They shall go. They hear the king's subjects and then they will be driven away. They will go into everlasting punishment, into a place that Jesus himself called hell. And there they will abide in such darkness, in such fire. Just listen to Jesus in verse 41. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It's so solemn. If you're not a Christian, go to Jesus now. I want to know that every one of you is going to be with me in heaven. And those of you listening online as well, I want to know that you're all going to be there. I don't want one of you to go to hell. And so I warn you. What darkness, what fire, what sorrow, what pain, what weeping. The unconverted will weep. They have not eternal life. And yet they will still hate Christ. Such unhappiness will be known amongst the enemies of the king, and it will never end. Everlasting punishment. That's the reality. But in closing, let's consider the other sentence. Fourthly and finally, the king's happy subjects. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Into life. They can enjoy the spiritual life with Christ here upon earth. They've enjoyed life in the intermediate state in heaven. But then on that great day, they will enjoy life both in their body and soul, having been reunited. Life they will enjoy. And notice how it's put here. But the righteous into life eternal. Into life. Go back to verse 34. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From judgment, we will enter life. We will enter the heavenly world. And a glorious King who has just judged us and judged the ungodly will be with us in the heavenly world to come. And it will be life. Let me just open this up as I close. There would have been the glorious resurrection. The resurrection unto life as we see in Daniel. And we will have such bodies fitted for eternal life. And with this glorious resurrected body, we will go into life, our body being reunited with our soul. And what a glorious body it will be. Fitted to aid you every moment of eternity to praise your King. Our bodies in the present state hinder us. We need sleep. And the Lord gives his beloved sleep. But we won't need to sleep in Emmanuel's land. That's hard to take it in, isn't it? We'll always be able to praise him. We'll always be able to have fellowship with him and with one another. At times our bodies can hinder us, maybe our hearing. I look forward one day to hearing such a choir of men and women in glory praising the Lamb, and to hear with such clarity, you'll never miss one word from the lips of Jesus. You'll have such vision. We thought earlier, in my flesh shall I see God, and you'll have such clear eyesight that would never deteriorate. So you can focus often on Jesus. You'll be able to gaze at such wonderful sights. Oh, we'll have such a body. We'll never know anxiety or depression in Emmanuel's land. For our bodies will be so strong. We'll never get anxious. We'll never get depressed. We'll never struggle. Those things will be behind us. What a glorious body. Such lungs to sing for all eternity. We get hoarse at times, don't we? But we have such lungs to sing, and a voice box everyone will have that is so finely tuned to perfection to sing Emmanuel's praise. That's what's waiting us. Our bodies will be perfect and united to a perfect soul into life then. What a wonderful life, what a glorious life. And a life with Jesus forever. What delights we shall enjoy. What sights we will behold. But most of all, the King there will be in the heavenly world. And we will be so happy. You know, when you go on holiday, maybe to Wales or Scotland, or to some island in the Mediterranean, it does you good, doesn't it? If you view the sights, the warmth. We're looking forward to the warmth, aren't we? The sunny days. Oh, what warmth, what sights it will do us good in heaven for all eternity in Emmanuel's land. But oh, the sight of Christ will make us happy. So happy. And we'll ever be thankful he came into this world. We'll ever be thankful he lived here upon earth and he kept the law perfectly for us. That we would have the legal title to heaven and Emmanuel's land, but also that he suffered for us. That we will be kept from everlasting punishment. We will ever be thankful. We will ever thank him that he lifted the golden scepter as we bowed the knee and did not turn us away. We will be so happy. Fall on your knees tonight before you go to bed and express your thankfulness to the King. You don't need to tell me you do it. The King's waiting for you to do it. What a glorious King you have. What a Redeemer. And you're going to be with him forever. What a vast crowd will be in the heavenly world. Billions upon billions upon billions, saved by grace, who had faith in the King. What a happy eternity it will be. The happiness of the subjects. You who through grace bowed the knee to King Jesus. Bow to him this night and in this coming week, in adoration, in love, in thankfulness. You bow, and you bow with a thankful heart. In comparison to eternity, we're nearly there. And then we shall be there where there is no time. And we shall ever be with the King. How thankful I am for the gospel. Live in the light of the King. Make known this gospel. What a glorious King. Blessed be his glorious name forever. And dear child of God, you're going to be there forever. What a day is coming. I am so thankful. When the trumpet sounds and it's instilled in the hearts of men that the King is about to act, it's my friend. I can face the judgment. I will hang my head in shame. But then I'll lift it again. As I go with Christ into the heavenly world. What a King. Amen. Let us pray. Oh gracious God, we thank thee for the table that we came around this morning. We remembered, O Lord, what Christ did for our soul. And we showed forth, we declared, we fought on it to the comfort and reviving of our hearts through the ministry of the Spirit. And we would go forth to show forth the Lord's death. But also we would look forward tonight. And we thank thee for him who loved us and gave himself for us, that we can look forward. And Lord, from this Sabbath day till we're home or we meet around the table again, help us to bear in mind the King, to live in light of his coming, and to live a closer walk with him. Blessed King, thou hast lifted the golden scepter, lifted every day as we turn to thee in prayer. Oh, may we be drawn closer to the King. How blessed we are to be subjects, to enjoy his royal provisions. May we banquet much with Christ this week. Oh, may we know the rich provision for any without Christ. We pray for them. We have thought of a solemn eternity tonight. Our prayer is for those who have been listening tonight, that thou wouldst work in their heart. Draw them to the King, save them because of the King, and bring them into fellowship. Lord, for those who are strangers in our families to grace, oh, open hearts, Lord, we pray, how we long to see those that we love near to home, saved by grace. Do a royal work as the gospel goes forth with royal invitations. And may the invitation be received. Oh, hear us then, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Our final praise is Psalm 98. Psalm 98, this psalm leads us to consider the return of the Lord Jesus Christ on the great day, verse 9. Before the Lord, because he comes to judge the earth, comes he. He judged the world with righteousness, his folk with equity. He's the just judge. And because of the justice of his grace and the justice of his righteousness, you're going to have a wonderful sentence, dear child of God. Psalm number 98, we're going to sing from verse 4 to the end of the psalm. The tune is Dunlap's Creek.
Thank you.
Let all the earth hand to the Lord, separate joy for the Lord. Lift up your voice aloud to Him, singing praises and rejoice. With a good heart and voice of song, unto Jehovah sing. With trumpets, cornets, gladly sound,
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Amen.